Once again, our text today, Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 2. Let's give our attention now to God's word. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we pray that you would quicken us, that you would revive us. Give us spiritual life according to your word today. We pray, Father, that you would help us to see the meaning of this passage of Scripture. Help us to examine ourselves in light of the teaching of Jesus here. We know that Jesus is not content to deal with superficial and external matters, but he goes straight to the heart. And we pray, Lord, that the word of God would lay open our hearts today. Help us, Father, to see the sin that is there and grant us grace to repent of it. May we also see the work of grace that you've already done in our lives there as well and be encouraged to continue to do good and follow what you have given us already. We pray your blessing now as we consider God's word together. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This poem slash story is entitled The Cookie Thief. A woman was waiting at an airport one night with several long hours before her flight. She hunted for a book in the airport shop, bought a bag of cookies, and found a place to drop. She was engrossed in her book, but happened to see that the man beside her, as bold as could be, grabbed a cookie or two from the bag between, which she tried to ignore to avoid a scene. She read, munched cookies, and watched the clock. As the gutsy cookie thief diminished her stock, she was getting more irritated as the minutes ticked by, thinking, if I wasn't so nice, I would blacken his eye. With each cookie she took, he took one too. When only one was left, she wondered what he would do. With a smile on his face and a nervous laugh, he took the last cookie and he broke it in half. He offered her half as he ate the other. She snatched it from him and thought, oh brother, this guy has some nerve and he's also rude. Why, he didn't even show any gratitude. She had never known when she had been so galled and sighed with relief when her flight was called. She gathered her belongings and headed for the gate, refusing to look back at the thieving ingrate. She boarded the plane and sank in her seat, then sought her book, which was almost complete. As she reached in her baggage, she gasped with surprise. There was her bag of cookies in front of her eyes. If mine are here, she moaned with despair, then the others were his, and he tried to share. Too late to apologize, she realized with grief that she was the rude one, the ingrate, the thief. I think that little poem and story is a good illustration of what we are going to consider today, and that is being judgmental. Passing judgment on other people, being critical of other people, and thinking negatively and sinfully about others. We began our study last week of this topic of judging here as Jesus presents it to us in Matthew 7, 1 to 2. And what we'll do today, before we continue, is we want to quickly review what we talked about last week. What we said last week, or what we endeavored to do last week, was to say what this text does not mean. What does it not mean for Jesus to say, judge not, that ye be not judged? We spent a whole sermon on that, and the reason why we did that is because there's so much confusion about this text in particular and in our culture today. We looked at a few examples where if we were to say that something is sinful, this behavior is wrong and should be repented of, that inevitably someone will say, well, you're judging. you're being judgmental. And they might even point to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1 to try and rebuke us. So what did we argue last week? We argued that that's not what Jesus is talking about. When Jesus says, don't judge, he's not saying, forget about right and wrong. He's not saying, don't be discerning anymore. He's not even saying that we're not ever to make any kind of judgments. We do have to make judgments. We have to decide between right and wrong, true and false. And we also have to make certain kinds of judgments about other people. Jesus here in this passage, for example, tells us in verse 15, beware of false prophets. Guess what? That involves a judgment. We have to make a judgment about who's a true prophet and who's a false prophet, who's a true teacher and who's a false teacher. So we spent that time to establish the fact that judge not does not mean forget about right and wrong and it's a free-for-all now. It does not mean that you should not call out sin for what it is. And it does not mean that you should not try and correct people who are in sin. Now, there's a way to do that, a kind and compassionate way to do it, but we said that Jesus is not teaching us not to do it at all, okay? So that's what we spent our time on last week, talking about what Jesus does not mean. Now, we want to turn to the other side and say, what is Jesus talking about? What does he mean when he says, judge not? And that's where our focus will be here today. Now, the reason why I told you last week at the close of the sermon to wear your good shoes today is because we're guilty. We're so frequently guilty of what Jesus is actually talking about here. People judge other people all the time. And I would like to say that it does not happen inside the church. I would love to say that you could enter any Bible-believing church in America and you'll never be judged in the way that Jesus is talking about. That you'll never be criticized in a bad way, looked down upon, despised, etc. But it does happen, and many times we personally are guilty of it, and sometimes I don't even think we know that we're doing it, because it comes naturally to the fallen human heart. John Calvin puts it this way, these words of Christ do not contain an absolute prohibition from judging, but are intended to cure a disease which appears to be natural to us all. That was in the 16th century that Mr. Calvin wrote that, and it's still true today. Judging other people is something that comes naturally to sinners. And so we need to think about what it means to be judgmental so that we can recognize it and avoid that type of behavior and repent of it when we do it. What does it mean, then, to judge other people in the sense that Jesus is using it here? Well, to put it hopefully simply, Jesus is here telling his disciples not to be critical, harsh, and hypocritical with one another. They are not to be overly or severely critical with one another, but they are to look at each other with kindness and compassion. They are to consider themselves, their own faults, their own sins, before they focus on the faults and sins of others. To put it another way, what Jesus is talking about here is an application of the golden rule, or it's connected, closely connected with the golden rule, which is found in verse 12. Drop down there with me for a moment. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Or to put it in the words of another gospel, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So when it comes to judging, we're to remember that golden rule and not criticize and be harsh toward other people and unfairly form negative opinions about them, because that's not how we would want to be treated. That's not how we would want others to do us. J.C. Ryle, the great Anglican bishop from the past, defines judging in this way. What our Lord means to condemn is a censorious and fault-finding spirit, a readiness to blame others for trifling offenses or matters of indifference, a habit of passing rash and hasty judgments, a disposition to magnify the errors and infirmities of our neighbors and make the worst of them. This is what our Lord forbids. Okay, so now what we want to do is we want to think about all the different aspects of being judgmental. What characterizes it? What does it look like when we do it? Because one of the difficulties with this is most people don't think they do it. Most people don't think they're judgmental. They don't see themselves as sitting in judgment upon other people. But as I said before, let's just get this one out of the way for starters. You have been and probably will continue to be, hopefully less after today, and it includes me as well. You probably have been judgmental and will be judgmental in the future. So you need to know what you're looking for in your own heart, in your own thoughts, and in your own actions. So let's think about what it looks like to be judgmental. Number one, to be judgmental is to be critical. Critical. Now, you know the difference between a good kind of criticism, recognizing that something's not good or something's not the way it should be or it could be better. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. To offer, we might say, constructive criticism. Okay, that's a should be a welcome thing. But there's a difference between that and being critical. Do you know the difference? In the past, they would have used a particular word to describe this that we don't use anymore. It's the word censorious. It's the idea of being severely critical, overly critical, and harsh in how we speak about and think about other people. We saw this aspect of it in the scripture reading just a few moments ago, James 4:11. Let me read it again. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. You see the connection there between judging your brother and speaking evil of your brother. Those two things go together, unfortunately. So that's number one. To be judgmental is to be critical. Have you ever met a critical person? Someone who was intent on finding fault, on focusing on the bad things, on focusing on the mistakes or the errors to the exclusion of all else, or someone who delights in finding something wrong in the life of another person. Now, we have plenty of that going on in American society today, and it's not a new thing. It's not a new thing, but you can see it when you turn on the political news, basically. You can see it in lots of different areas, but you can definitely see it in politics, where people are severely critical and harsh in how they speak about each other because of differences they may have. Don't be that way, brothers and sisters. You should not be known as a critical person. It's one thing to call sin, sin, to distinguish between good and evil, and even to say that someone honestly is doing wrong and they need to repent. It's another thing to be a critical person, to always be speaking negatively, to always have some criticism or some fault to find in another person. That is wrong. Second, to be judgmental and going right along with this critical attitude is to have a lack of mercy. It is to be critical toward other people and have little to no mercy for anyone else. The judgmental person is quick to find fault and quick to condemn without offering any compassion and any mercy for the person, even though that's not how they would want to be treated. Even though that's not the treatment that they would want to receive, the judgmental person is quick to condemn without mercy. Number three, to judge, in the sense that Jesus is talking about here, is to be proud and or self-righteous. To be a judgmental person is to be a proud or self-righteous person. We might put it this way. The judgmental person looks down on other people. He looks at other people and sees himself as superior, as better, and other people, for whatever reason, as lesser than him. We see this also in Romans 14, where the Apostle Paul is dealing with Christians judging each other. Listen to what he says. Romans 14:10, "But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother?" You see how those two things go together. Judging your brother is to despise him. It's to show contempt for your brother. So to be judgmental is to be proud and self-righteous. Now let's have a further illustration of this. You remember the story of the parable Jesus tells about the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee and the tax collector go up to the temple at the time of prayer, and you remember what the Pharisee does. The Pharisee, standing there praying, talking to God, and what is he doing? He is thanking God that he's not like that guy. That he's better than the publican or the tax collector. He's superior to him, and he lists out all his spiritual achievements. Now, hopefully you know better than that, brothers and sisters, but sometimes we think that way, don't we? Has that thought ever arisen in your heart that I'm better than them? I'm superior to them because, and you might want to list out the things you do or don't do that make you better than that person. Well, that's to be proud and self-righteous, which is to sit in judgment upon other people. Now, as you can see so far, to be judgmental is to be critical, it's to be merciless, it's to be proud and self-righteous. And what is at the root of all this is our attitude. Our attitude toward other people. Our spirit, we might say. Our disposition toward other people. You see, I can identify a problem in someone else's life, and I can point it out and speak about it, but do so with a certain attitude that is right and good. What might that attitude be? Well, an attitude of mercy, of compassion. I could look at someone else's life and see that they have fallen into sin, they're living this life of sin, and I could either look down on them or I could say, if it weren't for God's grace, if it weren't for God's love to me, if it weren't for all the ways that God has sovereignly intervened in my life to help me and make me into the person I am today, that's who I would be. I would be just like them. So you see, our attitude is so very important in these things. Now, someone might say, well, Pastor Nick, I'm just speaking the truth. I'm just telling the truth. Now, remember last week. Don't forget about last week. We're not throwing the truth out. We're not throwing right and wrong out. But sometimes we hide behind that with a critical spirit, with a mean-spirited attitude toward other people. And it's not really the truth we're concerned about. It's our own pride or self-righteousness that is at the heart of that. So our attitude is so very important. When we talk about other people, when we think about other people, and in how we act toward other people. Let's keep going. Number four, being judgmental involves being hypocritical. It involves hypocrisy. How do we know that? We know that from what Jesus goes on to say here. Look at verse 3. Why do you behold the mote that is in your brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in your own eye? Or how will you say to your brother, let me pull out the mote out of your eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye? You hypocrite. You see, what Jesus is dealing with here in the context is someone who says, I see a fault in that person's life, and I'm going to point it out, or I'm going to talk about it, or I may even confront them about it, while at the same time, I have a log sticking out of my own eye. In other words, I've got my own sin. I've got my own unrepented of, undealt with, unconfessed sin, and here I am criticizing and pointing the finger at other people when I have sin in my own life that needs to be dealt with. You can see this in the teaching of the Apostle Paul as well in Romans chapter 2. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. One of the greatest things you could do, brothers and sisters, is before you look at the faults of another person, have a sincere, long look at yourself. An honest examination of yourself, your own sins, your own faults. I've made a number of different mistakes at work. I know that's shocking, isn't it? But I have. I've made a number of different mistakes at work. And you know what that did? Is it was a learning experience that gave me compassion for other people who make mistakes at work. And I want to say to those people who make a mistake at work, and everybody's freaking out. Everybody's flipping out over somebody did something wrong and we sent 100 customers into the Bermuda Triangle. Okay, yeah, that's not great, but we'll live. They'll live. They'll be all right. Don't make this person feel like dirt because they made a mistake. And one of the things that helps me have that attitude is because I remember my own mistakes. And so when we look at other people and we see them and we say, wow, they're sinning and this is wrong and they shouldn't be doing this, it's not wrong to recognize the sin. We shouldn't turn a blind eye to sin. But our attitude toward them is so very important. And we need to have an attitude of humility toward them. And one way to do that is to look at yourself and ensure that you are not being hypocritical. Number five, being judgmental involves making a lot of assumptions about other people. When we judge others, we are often assuming that we know everything there is to know when we really don't. Right? Have you ever made assumptions about other people? Have you ever seen a small slice of someone's life and come to a conclusion about that person? Let me help you. You have. So have I, and you'll probably do it again this week, or this month, or in the years ahead. Again, hopefully you'll do it less after this sermon, but we do it. We make assumptions about other people. We think we know them. We're out at the store, and we see how people are handling a certain thing, and we think, I know how they run their household. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. You only got a glimpse of what was going on out there. We should not make assumptions about other people. Why should we not do that? Do you want people to make assumptions about you? Do you want them to think that they know you after seeing a small portion of your life and forming a judgment about you? Of course not. So being judgmental involves making a lot of assumptions about other people. And going right along with that, number six, being judgmental involves thinking we know the motives of other people. Thinking we know their motives and or imputing bad motives to other people. Have you ever done that? Have you ever assumed you know why that person acts the way they do? You know what's in their heart. You know what motivated them to do that. Oh, of course not. Pastor, I wouldn't do that. We do it, don't we? We think we know why they're doing what they're doing when so many times we don't know. I don't know why you did that. You don't know why I did that. We don't know each other's hearts. Now, again, that doesn't mean that we're going to throw right and wrong out the window. Say, okay, well, we just got to let sin and people do whatever they want to do because we don't know hearts. No. It's not that. But it is to say that you ought to reserve judgment. Before you come to a conclusion about a person, remember that you don't know their heart. You don't know everything that went into why that person did what they did or why they live the kind of life that they live. Let me give you a few examples. Have you ever judged other people based on how you see them spend their money? Now, forget the fact that we don't have access to their bank account. Forget the fact that we haven't seen their budget for the last 10 years, but yet we come to a conclusion about one thing we saw them purchase, or one thing we saw them buy. And usually we see that on the internet. You know, they throw up the picture about how they did this or how they did that, and you think, well, where'd they get the money for that? Well, I don't know, they should have spent that money on that. Well, I thought they were having a hard time. Here they are living it up big time. Do we know everything there is to know about the situation? Well, we think we do many times, and we go ahead and pass judgment on the person, but we need to pause and back up and not assume, again, that we know everything there is to know. Years ago at work, I had to attend a training class. We were changing our what we were doing in our jobs, and so we had to attend this training class. And I remember the first couple of days of the training class, there was a particular lady in the class who, after seeing how she interacted with people for a little bit, I went ahead and formed a judgment of her and thought, I don't like her very much. I don't want to have anything to do with her. I forget what it was exactly, but it was how she acted on that particular day of the training class. And so I formed a judgment in my mind, and it affected my actions. I wasn't going to try to be friends with that person. They were a nasty person, right? And I had concluded that from a couple of days or however long it took. You know what changed that? Is over the years, I got to know that person better. I got to know them and spend time with them and interact with them in a number of different contexts. And that person became such a good friend to me. Her name was Colleen. And I realized that I was so quick to pass judgment on Colleen when I didn't even know her yet. I just had a little piece, a small bit of an interaction with her, and I made the assumption she's a nasty person and I don't want to be her friend. I don't want to spend any time with her. When I got to know her, I realized that wasn't exactly true. Sure, I know she was a sinner just like anybody else, but my estimation of her was incorrect. I work Monday through Friday, 8:00 to 4:30-ish, with a lot of Indian people, with a lot of people from India. And it's easy to stereotype and put people from another country, from another ethnicity, in a certain bucket and judge them. And there was one particular person that I worked with that, let's just say, my estimation of her wasn't sky high, wasn't great. And so some of you may remember last year in November, I made a business trip and I spent a week in Florida. And I was there day in and day out for long hours with that person. And we both had formed an incorrect judgment about each other. She saw me as a humorless business machine. We've got this project and it's got to be done and it's got to be done like this. And here are the dates and God help you if you miss it. And she was surprised that I told jokes and smiled and laughed. And frankly, I was surprised she did that too. And the thought occurred to me, I don't know her. I don't know her as well as I thought I did. I like her. I like her better now. What changed that? I spent some time with her. I had more than a surface level interaction with this person. That's one of the greatest things you can do, rather than judge people, is reach out to people and try to get to know them. You might find out things you didn't know. You might find out things that totally change your opinion of that person and give you some compassion for them, give you some mercy for them. Now, don't make the mistake that our culture makes today. Our culture thinks, well, if you'll just get to know certain people, then you'll let go your hang up about this sin or that sin. Right? I'm sure you've heard that. Just get to know someone who is, quote, LGBT, and you'll be for it. Don't do that. Again, we're not talking about getting to know people so we can throw out the Bible and throw out right and wrong. But what we are talking about is getting to know people so we can have more compassion. So we can be the merciful, kind, understanding people that God wants us to be. Next, we judge others wrongly when we pass judgment on them for things that are indifferent. Do you know what I mean by indifferent? They're not essential things, right? We form a judgment about a particular person because of some detail of their lives, and that detail is not about the deity of Christ or the inspiration of Scripture or salvation by grace alone through faith alone or something essential like that. It's some other aspect about their lives or their person, and it's a thing indifferent. Recently, I've had the privilege of having conversations with someone that we differ over how to interpret the Bible. We differ over the end times. Eschatology is the fancy word for it, the last things. We're on different sheets of music when it comes to many of these things. What do I do with that? Do I want him to lose respect for me? Should I lose respect for him because we see these things a little differently? No, of course not. No, our viewpoint on these things does not rise to the level of something like the deity of Christ or salvation through Jesus alone, etc. But many times we judge each other over things that should not be that important. Finally, to judge other people often involves making hasty decisions, quick judgments. We've already covered this one, so I won't belabor this point again. But judging other people usually, many times involves snap judgments. You know what a snap judgment is? You get that little slice of the person's life, that little interaction with the person, and bang, you know. You know all there is to know about the person, and you condemn them, or treat them poorly, or look down on them, or what have you. But Jesus tells us in John 7, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Don't judge just by how things look superficially on the outside. Or Proverbs 18:13, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and a shame unto him. Have you ever done that? Before you got the whole story, before you got the whole picture of what was going on, you heard a little bit and you jumped to a conclusion. You made a snap judgment. Okay, I know you guys have it. I have, okay? No, you all have. We all have done that at some time, made snap judgments. What should we do instead of that? We should be slow to form judgments of other people. We should not be quick to think we know all there is to know about that person and their life. Be slow to form judgments and be slow to speak. This is what often gets us in trouble, right? We make a judgment in our heart, in our mind, and where does it inevitably come out? It comes out here. It comes out in our words and how we talk about that other person. And we need to remember the words of Scripture. My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to what? Hear. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. All of us need work on taming our tongue, on not being so quick to fire. Some of us are too quick. You're too quick. And you know it many times after the fact. You chide yourself and say, I should have kept my mouth shut. I shouldn't have said that. I wish I would have held my tongue. But we need to learn to hold our tongues. I have also learned this at work. I learned lots of things at work, in case you haven't noticed. But I've also learned at work to be careful about making assertions and to spend time asking questions. Okay? What do I mean by that? I can step into a situation sometimes and think I know what's wrong and who did it and start making assertions about what's wrong and how this thing needs to be fixed. And you know what I have found? On, you know, once a year or so, I was wrong. My evaluation of the situation was wrong. It just happened the other day. And I don't enjoy it when it happens. Somebody said to me, is this going to be ready by this time? And I said, no, so-and-so hasn't given me what I need. And so everybody freaked out and got upset about it. Well, the person that I thought I was waiting on information from them, we got on the phone, and I found out after talking to them for a few minutes that they had already given me what I need. I had misunderstood. What should I have done? Instead of making assertions, I should have asked questions. I should have gotten on the phone and said, am I misunderstanding? Did I miss what you sent, or did I misunderstand what you gave me? That would have been a much better thing to do. In addition to that, if being judgmental is being critical, then we need to remember the danger of criticism. We need to remember the danger of speaking ill of other people, of speaking negatively of other people. Again, we don't mean throw the truth out and don't speak the truth. But what we do mean is don't be critical. Don't talk about other people in a way that you would not want to be talked about. Have you applied that standard to yourself? Have you applied it to your words and your actions? Probably not as thoroughly as we need to. But again, the golden rule is lurking here in the background, is it not? Whatever you want done to you, do to others. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Speak about others in a way that you would want people to speak about you if you were in a similar situation. Now, Jesus gives us a reason why we should not judge other people. Let's look at that now. Verse 1 again. Judge not that ye be not judged. You see that little word, that? That indicates that Jesus is now going to give us the reason for the command. Don't judge other people. Here's the reason. The reason is so that you yourself will not be judged. Don't judge others lest you come into judgment. Verse 2. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, or you measure, it shall be measured to you again. What is that idea that Jesus gives us there in verse 2? In essence, Jesus is saying, the way that you treat other people is how you can expect to be treated yourself. The standard and the measure you use to judge others will also be used against you. If you use the measuring tape to size up somebody else, you can expect that measuring tape to get turned around and used to size you up. We can expect reciprocal treatment. As you have judged, so you shall be judged. As you have measured, so you shall be measured. Now, who are we talking about here? Are we talking about how we are judged and measured by other people, or by God himself? Well, I don't believe we need to take out one or the other. You can see how this principle plays out in everyday human life. The person who is critical and harsh and merciless toward others, the person who is hypocritical, will often get that same treatment back from other people. Other people often look at this person and hope that they'll get the same treatment that they have given out. But I do believe the primary point here is not to talk about how other people will treat us, but how God himself will deal with us if we have been judgmental with other people. This is a principle that runs throughout the Bible. Let me give you a couple of Old Testament examples. Ezekiel 35:11, therefore, as I live, says the Lord God, I will do according to your anger, and according to the envy which you showed in your hatred against them, and I will make myself known among them when I judge you. You understand what the Lord just said? As you have done to others, so I will treat you. Or Jeremiah 50:29, call together the archers against Babylon. All ye that bend the bow, camp against it round about. Let none thereof escape. Recompense her according to her work. According to all that she hath done, do unto her. You see that principle playing out there, that principle of reciprocity. As you have done to others, so shall it come back to you. We've also seen it in the Sermon on the Mount. The Beatitudes, for example, Matthew 5, 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Or in the addendum to the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. What a powerful thing to remember. That as we have dealt with other people, we can expect God to deal with us. Would that change the way you act toward other people? I sure hope so. I sure hope that it gives you a great deal of compassion and mercy for other people in their failings, their errors, and even in their sins. Why? Because that's how you want to be treated by God. You want God to have ultimate and unending compassion and love for you in spite of all your failings. In spite of all your sins, you want the Lord to love you and be faithful to you and take care of you for all eternity, right? Well, then what about other people? Should we not give that same grace, that same kindness, that same compassion to other people? Yes, of course we should. Again, if we are to obey Jesus' command, judge not that ye be not judged, we must remember that our standard and God's standard are not the same thing. We often judge other people because we've got our standard. Here's what a person must be or must do in order to measure up to what I think. And we take out the measuring tape and we size them up. And we say, nope, missed the mark, missed the mark, missed the mark, missed the mark. Bad person. Don't want to have anything to do with them, right? Now, we're all sinners. We're all bad people. We're all evil. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how we think about and treat one another. But when you take the standard of God's law and you measure the person, you see them for the sinner that they are, but you understand that that same measure applies to you. And now you see yourself as a helpless, guilty sinner in the same way as this other person that you may be tempted to judge. And what should that do? It should humble your heart. It should humble you and grow compassion and mercy toward other people. May God give us the grace to not be judgmental, to not be harsh and critical with other people, but to be kind, to be compassionate, to be slow to form judgments, slow to speak, and quick to speak words of grace, quick to give people mercy and compassion and understanding. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the teaching of our Lord here in the Sermon on the Mount. Oh Lord, how many times have we violated this passage? How many times have we disobeyed this? And we have been judgmental toward our fellow man and toward our brothers and sisters in the church. We've looked down on one another. We've despised each other. We've been overly critical of one another. We've lacked compassion and mercy and understanding. Forgive us, Lord, for this. And help us to be kind, to treat others as we would want to be treated, to give them the mercy and compassion that we would want to receive from your hand. Lord, we pray that you would help us to resist the temptations to judge each other and think ill of one another. Help us instead to think honestly of one another and honestly of ourselves. We pray for grace to do this. Lord, we thank you that you have saved us and rescued us from the ultimate judgment, the sentence of eternal death. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, that your sentence has been passed, and through Christ we stand righteous before you. We pray that you would help us then to see other sinners through that same lens, to have compassion for them,
Lord, and if they are already believers, to understand that they've received that same salvation from you. And if they're not, to want that same thing for them as well. Help us, Father, to not be a judgmental people, but be a kind and a patient people. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As you leave today, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. You know, well.